Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so every good tree bears good fruit, the rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits you will know them." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, Jesus continues his closing remarks in the Sermon on the Mount we've been hearing for 2.5 weeks. It's the second of his 3 closing images. Today, we have the image of the false prophets and the true prophets, which we're going to be able to discern, Jesus says, by their fruits and whether they flow from a truly good tree or a bad tree. In the Holy Land, there was a type of thorn bush that produced a little black fruit that from a distance looked very much like a grape at the beginning of a grape's grove. Likewise, there was a thistle that produced something that from a distance looked like a fig. Jesus uses those images, very well known to his people, to help his listeners learn how to discern between the true and the false prophets, both of which dressed up with a sheep's garment, which they'd wear the skin on the outside and the fur on the inside, stretching itself all the way back to Elijah. From that point forward, just like nuns wear habits and priests wear clerics today, prophets wore those garments. But she needed to tell the difference between the two, and Jesus wanted us to inspect carefully what were the type of false prophecies that would be said. The scribes and the Pharisees were saying the false prophecy that we are saved by our works. The Sadducees were saying that God's plans for us are light, we don't have much to do, he's super indulgent and lax. There are many false prophets in every age who want to separate faith from life. Jesus wants us to examine the fruits. And he gives us a key principle on which to focus his disciples. That the good fruit comes from a good tree. The bad fruit comes from a bad tree. The most important thing for us to ponder is the tree, not the fruit, but it's the fruit, the effect that draws us back toward the cause. So when we look at others, we're called to examine fruit, not to judge persons, but to be critically appraising of the fruit that they bear. Are they leading us toward a greater communion or union of life? Is it overflowing in deeds of faith, hope, and love? Or is it pretty much just words and showy deeds? The key for us as disciples in examining ourselves is to look at our tree, because if we are a good tree, we will bear fruit. In the Gospel verse today, we have Jesus' words from the Last Supper. From within his image of the vine and the branches, in which Jesus said, "Remain in me and I in you. Whoever remains in me will bear much fruit." If we remain attached to the vine, that's when we will be fruitful, even if we might not see it. And we remain attached to that vine precisely through faith, hope, and love. For that reason, today's first reading with Abraham is so instructive for us. Abraham, our father in faith, had extraordinary faith to be able to follow God's voice and pack everything up at 75 years old and leave home and leave everything to go to a land that the Lord would eventually show, but that he wasn't even indicating at the time. And Abraham believed and he followed. But Abraham's faith began to waver. He had been waiting forever for the fruit that God had promised, that he would become the father of a great nation. So with his faith wavering, in today's gospel, God helps Abraham grow, tells him not to fear. Even when Abraham asks, "What good are your gifts, Lord, if I go on being childless? You've given me no offspring. One of my servants will be my heir." God had promised, but it seemed that God wasn't fulfilling his promise. Abraham's faith was wavering because he was wondering if God's faith was wavering, if God's words were not going to be fulfilled. So the Lord took him outside, and we've talked about this scene before. I think it's one of the most important scenes to teach us what faith really is. And has him count the stars of the sky in broad daylight. Look up and into the sky and count the stars if you can, just so shall your descendants be. Tells us several verses later that dusk came down. Abraham was looking in broad daylight to try to count the stars, and he couldn't, but he knew that they were there. Abraham wanted to believe. He wanted to trust in the Lord. The Lord had given him that confirmation, but we see even later when that dusk came down, a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped Abraham. He was experiencing the dark night of the faith, we could say, almost literally. It was hard for him to believe. He was awaiting some type of confirmation. And God gave it to him, the smoke and fire for pod and the flaming torch, which was the confirmation that Abraham would receive that land and that God's promises with regard to children would be fulfilled. Now, I hadn't realized until this morning how difficult it would have been for Abraham with the name change God had given him. We were able to ponder on Monday what God had given as the name to Zechariah and Elizabeth's son. God is gracious. He would be called God is gracious. At all points of his life, names matter. But think about if God changed your name to Bountiful Father and you were childless. It's almost a mockery. It would be calling a midget Redwood or Giant. Every time anybody would call out Abraham's name, it was a mockery. Abraham had faith, but he needed to be strengthened in faith. And he was. The Lord did it. And that's why Abraham became such a fruitful tree, not just biologically, but especially spiritually. So all believers look to him now as a father in faith. He's a true prophet, somebody whose faith we can follow if we wish to come to the Lord, even in our darkest days. Today the church celebrates the feast of St. Jose Maria Escrivá, died 44 years ago today in Rome. St. Jose Maria is a true prophet, existing at a time in which there were so many false prophets, people who were focusing too much on deeds, people who were laxist like crazy, especially in the years after the Second Vatican Council, but especially people who were separating faith from life, and people who were saying that if you wish to become a saint, the only way to do it was to become a priest or a religious. You were not called to sanctity in ordinary life. There was no way you could love God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength in the middle of the world. So St. Jose Maria came, called by God to teach a true message. And the true message linked faith and life, our prayer with our work, so that Ora et Labora would be a continuous hymn of praise to the Lord. St. Jose Maria was one who took seriously and lived the Eucharist as the source and the center, source and the summit, the root and the center of the Christian life. He tried to live an entire Mass throughout the day, celebrating Mass at 7, giving thanks through noon, and then from noon through the Mass on the next day, preparing for it, seeking to unite all his work as a hymn of thanks or as a prayer of preparation and petition. And that's one of the ways he was able to keep unity of life throughout. It's an example for us. The way we bear good fruit through our deeds of love is letting it flow through Christ's love given to us each day in the morning. I give thanks today for 20 years of priesthood. There have been times I have been challenged in faith, like Abraham, in which it seems that I was a very barren fig tree with nothing to show from what I thought was faithful priesthood. But the Lord would occasionally send versions of smoking fire pots my way to just keep me going on. Today I thank him for that, and I ask him in a special way through St. Jose Maria's intercession to imitate his own union between faith and life. Today I make my own the words of the psalm, how the Lord remembers his covenant forever, which is the source of our continuous faithfulness to him, trusting in his faithfulness to us. We give thanks to the Lord, we invoke his name, seek to make known among the nations his deeds, we sing his praise, proclaim those wondrous deeds. And the greatest way we do so is at the Mass. How can we make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for us? We raise the cup of salvation.